Praise God. Praise God. So good to worship God. And I don't know what you feel, but I think it is just so good for our souls, so good for our hearts. And there is so much in life that fights for our attention, demands our attention. And it is so important that we take time to deliberately put our attention on Father and worship Him. Yeah? So can I encourage you, don't just wait until every third Saturday or every Sunday morning. Create these moments in your daily routine. Find that time where you can worship God. He can fill your room, fill your heart, fill your life, and bring things back into perspective the way they really, really are, with God as number one. Praise God. We're going to do just a few moments. I'm just going to bring some thoughts from God, I believe, for us to think about, to take into our hearts, to pray about beyond today. And just want to say thank you to Youngman, because he's developing the podcast facility that we have. And whenever we do something like this on a Saturday praise and prayer night, you can always go onto the website and you can re-listen to these. And so thoughts that we're bringing this evening, you can take notes, of course, but then you can also go back onto the website and listen to those again. Last month, if you remember and were here, we began to talk about miracles. You remember? And we saw how that as the people of God began to enter the land of promise, one thing that they experienced amongst many was miracles. Remember, on their way towards Canaan, they had a miracle crossing of Jordan. You remember they had a miracle victory over Jericho, and those walls, those mighty walls, fell down. And so miracle after miracle, as they possessed the land, as they evicted the people that were there but should not be there, and they claimed what God had promised them. And you'll remember that last month we prayed together. And we prayed especially for those that needed to see God's miraculous power in their life. And I just want to pause here and to ask, in relation to that, and specifically in the things that we prayed for, is there anybody that has a testimony of God already answering that prayer? Maybe you were one that says, yes, I need to see a miracle, and people gathered around you, prayed for you. Anybody here has already seen God work a miracle? You can come and give testimony. Not tonight? Keep believing then. Keep believing. If God has said it, He will do it. And when do we stop believing for God to do miracles? When He's done it. And then we've probably got more miracles to believe for anyway. So this evening, let's move on. And we're going to continue to think about this. We're entering God's land of promise. We're talking about miracles. Last time that we were together, our focus was upon, if you will, individual or personal miracles. And we need to experience them. We really do. And I want to encourage you again to believe God. It is not true that God has stopped performing miracles. That's not true. God is still God. His power is still unlimited, and his will and his desire to bring his kingdom, his rule, his will, his reign into the lives of people is the same today as it was when Jesus walked on this earth. Can you hear me? It's absolutely true. The Bible says of Jesus in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, that he went around doing good. That was his life, healing those who were oppressed of the devil, for the Lord was with him. And we read that that was the same experience for the 12 disciples, the apostles. It was the same for the apostle Paul. They believed in their hearts that God, through them, could bring his kingdom into this earth. And that hasn't changed. That is the same channel that God is using. He hasn't chosen to use wireless internet facility and beam down his kingdom. His only chosen vessel are the children of God. That's you and me. That through us, his kingdom and his will be done. And for that to happen, it needs miracles. Salvation is a miracle of God. And so when we're praying, let me just talk a little bit about two different types of prayer. There is the prayer. Prayer is just, it's conversation. It's communication between us and God. It's not some, you don't have to switch on a religious language. Yeah. You don't have to use fancy words. You just speak out of your heart. And the prayer of intimacy, of closeness, the prayer of relationship is your heart fellowshipping with the heart of God. You have close friends, I hope. Hope you've got close friends, maybe your spouse. And you have times when you just join hearts and you don't necessarily plan or schedule or work through things. You're just enjoying one another. Is that right? Yeah. That's how we can be with God. We can get into God's presence and we say, God, you know what? You're the best. There's no one like you. I'm so thankful that you loved me, you saved me. And then you stop and you listen and God says, you know what? I love you too. I think you're the best. And you have that beautiful heart-to-heart conversation. If you don't have that, oh my, I pray that you experience it. If there's some kind of religious blockage in your heart that says, oh, God and I can't talk that way, please, you can. God desperately wants to have that beautiful fellowship with you, where he hears you, you hear him, and you're the best friends. Can you hear me? We must have that. That's what we have in our walking, talking relationship. There's also a place of prayer where we still fellowship with God. It is still our hearts connecting with his, but it's for a specific purpose. It is to bring his will into being. It is when we perhaps, as we might say, experience that labor of prayer, that work of prayer, that persisting in prayer. Anybody ever been in prayer and experienced that? Where prayer can get kind of hard work. Yeah? Just two of us. Well, the rest of you break through every time, of course. Show us how to do that. Seriously. That is another aspect of prayer which is also very important for us to have, where we capture what God's will is, and by prayer we bring it into being. We speak it out. We confess it. What do you mean? Let's say, for example, that I get sick. What is God's will for me? That's the first thing I need to know. And that is why it's so important for me to have that intimacy with God. What I spoke of just a moment ago. Because that is where he will tell you what his will is. So I get sick. Now, what is God's will for me? So that I can pray. God's will for me, the Bible says, is to get healed. And so what do? I start to stand upon that promise of God's word. Do I feel like it? Maybe not. Because I feel sick. Is it the first response and reaction that I have? Maybe not. Not right now. But it is the most essential response that I need to have, because in that is where I will see God's promise through a miracle become reality. Did you catch that? God's promise through a miracle becomes reality. The thing that links God's promise with the reality is this fervent prayer. Effective and fervent prayer of a righteous person, James says, avails much. It creates much. It causes much. And James cites the example of Elijah. What happened with Elijah? Do you remember that James cites there? Bible students. Absolutely. And if you live in England, you know how great that prayer is, because there's a lot of rain. Isn't that right, Grace? Elijah knew the will of God and he prayed fervently, effectively, and God's will came into being through a miracle. We read of Joshua, who was engaged in a battle and he needed some more time. And through his prayer, God caused the sun and the moon to stand still. Yes, he did. It happened. We read of Jesus in a wilderness setting with loads of hungry people and hardly any food. He takes 5 loaves, 2 fishes, and with effective and fervent. Fervent is not just loud or goes on for hours and hours. Fervent means you believe what you're praying. You stand upon it. And you request what you know to be the will of God. And as Jesus did this, the Bible says 5,000 men, then there were women, and then there were children. How many of you know that children often eat a lot more than adults do? Is that right, Dayan and Unmi? You have a young son who's got a big appetite. So Jesus fed all these people. It was God's will. And through that prayer, Jesus saw it happen. And that is how we can bring these promises of God into reality. And that's the prayer that we're talking about tonight. Not just the God bless me's, but where we take hold of God's word and we do not ever let go of it. Unless you don't believe it. And then you will. Faith doesn't say, I will pray for this long. Faith says, God has said it, I believe it, I will pray it, and therefore I will see. Can you hear me? And this is the warrior of faith that God is looking to raise in the church today. People that are courageous enough to believe what God says in the face of adversity and against opposition. So let's look at some points here this evening. Thanks, Amanda.
One sec.
It's just warming up. It's getting there. It's going to happen. Definitely going to happen. In Jesus' name, it's going to happen. Has anybody thought of a testimony yet? There you go. What are some of the promises of miracles that God has spoken generally to every disciple of Jesus, the church as a whole? So we're not now just thinking of the specific promises and miracles to us as individuals. We're tonight going to look at the general words that God has spoken to the whole of the church. That means all of us here this evening. And we're just going to look at three promises, three words, and take each one of them at a time. What's the next slide? Here is the first verse. The Lord does not delay and is not tardy or slow about what he promises, according to some people's conception of slowness, but he is long-suffering, extraordinarily patient toward you, not desiring that any should perish, but that all should turn to repentance. So what is the promise of God in this verse? It is this, that everyone should repent of their sin and be saved. That's the promise and that's the will. That's what God wants. That's what God wants. So next slide. What can we do to see this promise and miracle happen? Of course, first thing is we must believe it. The Bible says, if people will repent, they will be saved. That's the word of God. And God's will is this, that every person should be saved. Is there anyone here tonight who does not know anyone who is not saved yet? Those people in your life, it is God's will for them to be born again. What can we do? Number one, believe. Second, believe and pray for the people we know. God save the whole world. Yeah, that's a big prayer. But let us begin to pray for those that we know. Maybe our family members, our friends, our neighbors, our work colleagues, to be saved. And this is where those two types of prayer are distinguished. The type of prayer when we're praying for our unsaved friends, people we know to be saved, it isn't just in that close intimacy, friendship of prayer. It is where we are willing, we're willing to let God break our hearts for their souls. One thing that is really, I'm going to share this with you, one thing that's really in my heart in terms of the nation's church is for men to be saved. Truly born again and become strong leaders for God. We see so often that mums, wives, and often children come to Christ, but we need to see men born again. Something that we are crying out for. God, show us what we can do. How can we reach husbands, fathers? We've got young kiddies in the children's ministry praying for that, crying out to God for their fathers to come to know Jesus. That's the type of prayer that we're talking about. Earnest, fervent, heart cry. The type of prayer that says, God, even answer that through me. Answer this prayer through me. So practical things that we can do. We can talk to these beautiful people about what God has done for us and how he has saved us from the power of sin. Take conversations beyond weather and politics and those sorts of things and begin to share our heart with what God has done for us. That's what a witness is. It's just somebody telling someone else what God has done. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit empowers us to do that. Next slide. We can invite people to church service, to special events or focus groups. A lot of people say, oh, they would never come. You'd be surprised. You'd be very surprised. Please pray for next weekend. There are a number of people who are inviting unsaved colleagues and friends. Let's believe that they meet with the true and living God. Watch out for new guests as they come to service. I know it's so nice because on Sundays we can get together with our friends and we can fellowship, catch up. But if we've got a heart and a passion for souls to be saved, let us perhaps make it a priority to look out for new people. I don't mean swamp them, but I mean just have a heart towards them and perhaps be willing to forego a long conversation with a friend and take some time to embrace and to love people that are guests with us. Accept them. Help them, love them, be God to them. On purpose, develop spiritual relationships. On purpose. So let our conversation be about things of God. Politicians can't save us from hell. And if the weather shines beautiful sun every single day, that's not going to save us. We need to come out of that habit and we need to develop spiritual relationships. I would say that we need to do that amongst ourselves. I'm serious about that. Let God be in our conversations and not just moaning and groaning about him. But let us talk. Let us share scriptures together. Let us have that spiritual life bubbling in us and deliberately speak about faith in God and the love of God. These are practical things that we can do as we pray for those who we know are not saved yet. Next thing. Here is another verses from Mark 16. Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved." That's his promise. "But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." And what is one of the promises that we find in those verses? Next slide. Is this, that there will be signs, there will be proof, there will be evidence that people believe in Jesus Christ. These things, these signs, these things will happen. These things will be the evidence, the proof that people believe. Not that they have been to seminary, not that they've gone through Bible studies on these things, but simply that they believe in Jesus Christ. One of those signs, one of the proofs is this, that they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. What do we do? Next slide. Believe in this promise. It is a promise of God. To who? Who is this promise relative to? What did Jesus say? These signs will... Go back one slide, please, a moment. Will what?
Follow those who believe.
That's right. Do we have any believers here tonight?
Yes.
Okay. Then we can honestly expect these things to happen because Jesus said they would. Jesus, by the way, doesn't know how to tell lies. So if he said it, it is true. Number one, let's believe what Jesus has said. Number two, when someone is sick, do what Jesus said. Lay hands on them. What does that mean? Whatever. connect with them. Don't, you know, necessarily do all funny things. Just take the hands. This is how I often pray with people. I just stand like this. I'm laying hands on them. And I pray with them. And I do it because Jesus said, because I believe this will be an evidence and a proof. This is what will happen. Allow this promise to become natural in your life, a natural response for you as well as for others. Let it become natural. You can lay hands on yourself. Pray for yourself. I read the life of Jesus, and Jesus did this all the time. The Bible says they brought multitudes, crowds of sick people to him. And the Bible says he healed them all. James says, if there's anyone sick amongst you, get prayer for it. Get healed. I don't know why this healing thing is such a big hang-up in certain aspects of the church. If you look at Jesus, it was quite natural. It's what he did. It was his way, one of his ways, of illustrating what the kingdom of God is. Is the kingdom of God all about healing? No. Partially, yes. How many of you think that there'll be sickness in heaven? Praise God, the Bible says no way. No sadness, no sorrow, no sickness, no pain. And we are commissioned to bring the kingdom of God to earth, the reign, the rule of God. And Christ has died, and by his stripes we are healed. Let it become a natural response to us. I feel sick. What do I do? Do I instantly reach for the medicine? Do I instantly reach for the phone, make an appointment with the hospital? Or do I go for my Bible? And I say, God, I need your word on this. And then you pray for yourself. Trust that even when you don't immediately see the sign of healing, God's promises are true and will come into being. I know that it is so easy to be driven and affected by what we see rather than what God has said. Many years ago, our son burnt his foot really bad. The skin came, the flesh came off it. Really serious. And we prayed, and the pain stopped. And we prayed again later on the next day, and the next day. And as we prayed, after 2 or 3 days, we saw where that skin and that flesh was beginning to grow. Because we believed that God had said that he would heal our son, because Jesus Christ had borne the pain and the suffering in his place. Don't ever give up just because the first time you pray, that person's not healed. Keep believing. Keep believing. Don't try to work out why. Let God be the authority on that. Simply believe what God has said. So don't let your experience be your point of reference. So many people have said, oh, I used to pray for people to get healed, but it never worked, so I've given up now. Why did it not work? I don't know. I'm not going to second guess that. But all I want to encourage you with this is believe what Jesus said. These signs will follow. And the church needs to be the evidence of God working on the earth today. There are diseases that are morphing. What's the word I'm looking for? like mutating. The strains are getting more and more difficult to deal with medicine. But none of them are above the power of God. None of them. And what we term to be incurable, the blood of Jesus cleanses from. Seen it. Seen incurable diseases healed by the power of God. Is it the gospel? No. It's part of the gospel message. And my friends, this world needs to see the power of God in this way again. The third thing, and then we'll start to pray. Should be one before that. Here we go. This is such a powerful verse from Romans chapter 8, verse 2. If you've done Growth Track, this is probably embedded in your mind because it's so powerful. And because you belong to Jesus, not because you're so good, so clever, because you know the Bible from cover to cover, because you were raised in a Christian home. No, simply because you belong to Him. You belong to Him. You've been saved by grace. You've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Simply because of that, the power of the life-giving Spirit has set you free from the power of sin and death. Not will do. It doesn't. English is well, it's my best language, but English structure is, maybe I'm not so good at that. How do you say that English language? Whatever. Anyhow, you can tell I'm not so good. But I do know this. I do know this. That it says, has freed you, means it's already happened. I had a shower earlier today. It's already happened. And everybody here said, praise God. It happened. It exists. And this is our possession. Because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. That means that there is no power of sin that can dictate to you what you have to do. There is no devil out there who you are subject to. You should go home tonight and you should get a bright fluorescent pen and you should take your shoe off and on the heel of your shoe you should write these two words, get lost. Because the Bible says that Satan is to be crushed under our heel. That's where he belongs. Get lost. I don't mean that jokingly. I'm serious about it. Because he hasn't got the power. We cannot say, oh, the devil made me. No, his power is broken for those that believe. Neither can we say, that person made me get angry. No, they can't make you. Because the power of the life-giving Spirit has already set me free from the power of sin that leads to death. That means that whatever anybody does to me in the form of sin, that does not need to control me. I do not need to live in subjection to the sin of another person, present or past, or indeed future, because this is the promise of God. My friends, this is not some man-made doctrine. This was not conjured up by some brilliant brain. This is the word of God. This is the promise of God. It has been given to us to live in and to experience. Why? Because we belong to Him. You know, and I know, we don't have the power in ourselves to resist it, do we? We're weak in our own humanity and flesh. But if we will believe in the power of the word of God that says we have already been set free, oh, we can live in this freedom. Sin no longer has dominion over us. And my goodness, how the world needs to see the church living like this. How it does. To see the reign and the rule of God in his children. Bringing the kingdom of God. Having lives that reflect the glory and the holiness. God says, be holy as I am holy. However can we do that? Only because we know that we belong to him. And God, the Holy Spirit, will empower us. So three promises from God's word for the church. Some practical things that we can do to bring these promises into being. But we're going to take the rest of our time here this evening to begin to pray that God works these truths within our hearts. And that beyond that, he works it in the hearts of the whole of our church. That we have a passion for the lost. To bring them in. That we pray for them. Cry out to God for their salvation. That God uses us to that very end as well. That we will take the promises of God such as those that believe in Jesus will lay hands on the sick and see healing come. That we see this promise here that we're able to live with victory over the power of sin simply because we belong to him. And in that, we need to have revelation of what it means to belong to Jesus. Can you hear these things this evening? I pray that the Holy Spirit stirs our hearts to see the truth of these things. The power that's in his word. And that what will happen if we as the Church of Jesus determine and set ourselves to pray. We will see souls saved. We are seeing it. We are seeing souls saved. Often on Sundays in the main service and in children's ministry and young people's ministry, souls are being saved. But there's a whole lot more out there that needs saving. People are being healed. But there's a lot more that could be healed. People are breaking through the power of sin. But can we join forces? Can we link arms with our brothers and sisters? Can we encourage one another? And instead of looking at somebody who fails and saying, I knew they would. It was too good to be true. They were living a bubble. That we weep for them. And we cry out that God has mercy on them. And forgives them. And brings healing to their hearts. Can you hear these words? Let's take the rest of our time this evening. Let's join together in groups of three or four. Praying that God brings these things into the hearts of our church. That these things become natural in our presence. That these truths, these promises of God are living realities. They're not just dreams, but they're a living reality amongst our friendship groups, in the fellowship that we have with one another, in our friendships outside of church relationships, that we're believing to see God bring his miracles. Miracles of salvation, miracles of healing, miracles of holy living.